Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Bishop Henry, and today, as always, when I do this broadcast, you are listening to the Apostolic Voice. I want to take the time today to talk about Scripture, Holy Scripture. I'm not going to be very long, just I'm trying to be quick and precise to the point and deal with that because I think that, I just think, but I know that there is an attack, all-out attack, on the very Word of God. And there's an attack on the Bible and what we call Holy Scripture. The enemy is really after trying to discredit who God is. And in order to discredit God, you have to discredit His Word. Because, you know, the old saying says that a man is no better than his word. So when you can discredit God's word, you can discredit God. And that's what the enemy is after. It's trying to discredit God and his word. Because the Bible says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. That's what we're called to live by. The Bible says that it is through the foolishness of preaching that God desires and wishes to save the lost. And if that be the case, the enemy must destroy God's word. He must get us to doubt God's word in order for him to deceive us and in order for him to take advantage of us so that he can destroy us. And the Bible says, that God people perish for lack of knowledge. It's not saying that knowledge was not available. Because not, if you read the verses before that particular verse, it says that they had a knowledge of how to kill, to murder, to steal, to destroy, to hurt, to maim, and all that. But they, the most important thing that they lacked, the most important thing that they kept avoiding was a knowledge of God. And that's what the enemy does. He comes to try to discredit God and discredit who he is, undermine God's word, thereby he can undermine who God is. With that being said, let's look at a few things. Mark Twain said the Bible has noble poetry in it, fables, and some blood-drenched history, and a wealth of obscenity, and upwards of 1,000 lies. Thomas Paine said, whenever we read the obscene stories and the voluptuous debaucheries, the cruel and torturous executions, the unrelenting vindictiveness with which more than a half of the Bible is filled, it would seem more consistent that we call it the word of a demon than the word of God. It is a history of wickedness that has served to corrupt and brutalize mankind. Elizabeth Cady Stanton says, the Bible and the church has been the greatest stumbling blocks in the way of women's emancipation. You see, this is what unbelievers think when they approach Scripture. Even some so-called Christians approach Scripture the wrong way, and they approach it in a way where they deny the authenticity of Scripture, the sacredness of Scripture. They talk about Scripture, though Scripture can be corrupted and all of that. Like God is not powerful enough to keep his word from being corrupted. When you heard the people I just quoted, they do not understand the word of God. They do not understand when God tells Israel to come out of Egypt and he leads them into the promised land. They don't realize when those nations that God told them to destroy were all nations who had infiltrated by the Nephilim, by that spirit, those giants, those whatever they were, men of renown. Those, if you look at those particular nations, God tells them to take out. Those were nations. If you look at pre-flood, it was not just the sins of the people pre-flood that caused the flood, but it was these spirit beings, whatever the Bible called them, sons of men, B'nai Elohim, who came down, slept with the daughters of men, and produced a race of Nephilim, of men of renown, and giants into the earth. And if you look at every flood culture, every flood story tells that there was something that came from heaven and laid with the daughters of man and produced something, and the flood came and destroyed all of them. and all that, and then the enemy's still trying to do it, still trying to do it. There, people got these lies and said the Bible is full of lies, is unreliable, is untrustworthy. It cannot be the word of God. And they try to go out their way to prove that the Bible cannot be trusted. It cannot be accepted. It's just a bunch of stories. It's myth. But watch this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16, from the Message Bible, paraphrase of Scripture, says these words. We, 2 Peter 1 and 16 said, we weren't just wishing on a star when we laid the facts out before you regarding the powerful return of our Master, Jesus Christ. We were there for the preview. We saw it with our own eyes. Here, Peter, in the book of Peter, is saying that the Bible is not fairy tales, but the Bible is fact. And we gave you facts based on what we saw. And the unique thing about God is unique because if you look at the gospel gives us four different points of view of how four different men saw the same situation. People say, well, it's contradiction. No, it's not contradiction, because you know for a fact that we all see things differently. We all see things different from each other. We perceive things differently. We hear things differently. And so here the Lord in his wisdom allowed four men that witness this thing, to tell it from their point of view, how they saw it, how they perceived it. And the Bible sanctioned it as the word of God and called it God-breathed, not contradictions, not a lie, but people telling their own unique experience about what they saw, what they heard, and declaring it. Even John said that if we were to write all the books to describe everything Jesus did, there would be not enough books in the world to describe everything and talk about everything he did. People say, we need more scripture. No, you don't need more scripture. You just need to believe what we already have. Because John said these words in the last few words of his gospel. John said that what we have told you, we told you enough so that you may believe in Jesus Christ, and that believing on him, you may have life through his name. So we have scripture. The scripture we have is enough, contains enough, so that you may find salvation in the name and through the person of Jesus Christ. If you think the scriptures are not enough, brothers and sisters, you have been deceived. You have been deceived by the devil. You have been deceived by the enemy, because the Bible says of itself that there's enough in Scripture to tell us who God is, to describe who he is, and to tell us the testimony of Jesus Christ, so that we may find salvation in him, through him, and by him. Somebody ought to say amen. The Bible is not Greek mythology or Roman mythology or Babylonian mythology. The Bible is God's story. Matter of fact, when you look at the Bible does not start off trying to prove that God exists. If you look in the book of Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, Elohim, God, created heaven and earth. John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the same was in the beginning with God. And nothing was made except it was made by him. And so the Bible, in two different passages of Scripture, does not try to prove that God exists. The Bible automatically assumes that it's common knowledge that God exists. It's not a collection of fables. People say, well, we have two different creation stories. My brother and sister, there's one creation story. That's Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2 fills in the gaps. It lets us know that what God did, how that animal got the name, where Eve come from. Because in Genesis chapter 1, we see Adam, the Adam, humankind. And then God said he made humankind, and he made humankind both male and female. But then God shows us in chapter 2 how the female came from the Adam. And so the Bible does not have two contradicting stories. It has one creation story. And the second creation passage in chapter 2 fills in the gap that chapter 1 does not have. And so then the Bible talks about flood. Every culture in this world has a global flood story that has the same information. told different ways, but it's the same information. It's just told differently. The first Chinese empire and the founders of it, those people, the man name means eight people on a boat in a flood. Every culture has a story of the Indians, the Mayas, those in South America, those in Russia, those in Europe, those in Africa, those in the Middle East, all of them in Asia, Australia. Every culture has a flood story that lets you know it's not myth. Something actually happened. When you look at the pyramids and when they were constructed, you see that the calendar inside of one of the pyramids tells us that everything started with the flood. Astrology and all this other stuff, because they start counting the stars after the flood so that they can make sure that the God who sent the flood wouldn't send it again and catch them off guard. The miracles of Jesus Christ testify to the authenticity of Scripture and tells us that Scripture is indeed the very word of God. The miracles confirmed it. Jesus was who he said he was. He wasn't some witch doctor. He wasn't some shaman. He was not a sorcerer. He was God manifested in the flesh. Matter of fact, Paul says, in Jesus, the fullness of what God is, everything God is, the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in Jesus Christ. For God was in Christ, and now Christ is in us. Somebody will say amen again. And so we see in the Bible, testimony of man trying to get to God and God trying to get to man. When man trying to get to God, he perverts God's word. But when God reaches out to man, man should respond to God, and then God redeems him. But man, there is a way that seems right to man, but the Bible says that way ends in destruction. It ends. It ends in destruction. Are you hearing me? You may think your way is right, but your way isn't right because your way will end in destruction. It will end in destruction. People look and they try to say, well, the Bible is not scientific. But yet and still the Bible tells us that the earth is round when you had church folks saying that the earth was flat. The Bible talks about everything revolving around the sun, but yet, you know, it shows us that the earth goes around the sun, not everything goes around the earth. The Bible has all these other stuff. The Bible talks about the life of the flesh is in the blood. Before man even knew that it is blood that gives life. Are you hearing me? There is a lot of material in the Bible that is very scientific. Everything, the Bible is more than just some ancient stories. We have the tomb of David with us. We know what Nineveh is. We know what Babylon is that's mentioned in the Bible. Like I said, every culture has a flood story that talks about that. We still have Mount Ararat, where the Ark of Noah still resides at. Even though it's covered in snow and ice, it's still up there. People have said they have went up there and seen it. People try to find the Garden of Eden, but that's kind of impossible to find the Garden of Eden because since the flood, the earth before the flood is not the same as the earth post-flood. The Bible is not filled with contradictions. You can pick up the Book of Mormon and find contradictions on every page. And the Book of Mormon is a very boring book. There's no scientific, nothing scientific. None of the cultures in the Book of Mormon can be proven. But archaeological evidence have already proven the Bible. And every day it still proves the Bible. I remember in my Bible school, college days, and when we were going through the course of hermeneutics, it talks about thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of archaeological evidence that proves the Bible exists. The Bible and the place of the Bible proves the Bible and proves that the Bible is authentic, and it is the Word of God. No other book in this world can compare to it. The text of the Hindus cannot compare to it. The text of the Mormons cannot compare to it. Joseph Smith, along with every prophet in the Mormon church, have contradicted each other and contradicted Scripture. But the Bible never contradicted. The New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and neither one of them contradict each other. Anybody comes to you and talks about, well, God was a violent God in the Old Testament, they need to get saved. They really need to get saved, because if they really understood Scripture, they wouldn't say God was violent in the Old Testament, because the same God of love in the Old Testament is the same God of love in the New Testament. God has not changed, because God is immutable. Cannot say man changes, but God not changed. The same way God redeems in the Old Testament is through blood. He redeems through blood in the New Testament. So the Bible is real. The Bible is authentic. The Bible is the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6 says, every word of God is true. He guards those who come to him for safety. Do not add to his words, or he will correct you and prove you are a liar. There are people today who are adding to and taking away from the Word of God. They're trying to say the Word of God is not reliable. The Word of God has been corrupted. That God does not have the power to keep his Bible from being corrupted. But guess what? God can. And God has, and God's will. He can do that. The Bible is the Word of God. It does not only contain the Word of God, but it is the Word of God. The Bible is not a mixture of error and truth. The Bible is truth. Can God's Word be corrupted? No, it cannot. We have enough original manuscripts to test each of these translations out to see actually the Word of God. You hear me? We have enough original manuscripts. And you think about God. God put the Bible in languages that are technically dead languages so that the words can be misconstrued and corrupted. Nobody speaks Koine Greek as an everyday language now. Even Latin, even though we have a scholastic and ecclesiastical Latin, Latin is not spoken as an everyday language, and we have the scriptures in Latin. We have the old Hebrew text where for thousands of years no one spoke Hebrew. But when Israel became a nation again, they recovered their language instantly in a day. And so the Bible is the Word of God. It does not just contain the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It is spirit and it's life. The problem is that when unregenerate man tries to come to the Bible, tries to interpret it, you cannot correctly exegete text when you have not been redeemed yourself. Because the enemy would keep you blind to the truth and to the reality of who God is and what his word is. The Bible says man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It says God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. He sent his word and he healed their disease. There is still power in the very word of God. Are you understanding me today? On this radio broadcast, there is indeed power in the word of God. God's word can be trusted. God can be taken at his word. God is not man that he should lie. Neither is he the son of man that he should repent. The enemy says to you, expand your thinking. You're too close-minded. But Paul says, if anybody comes to you with any other gospel, let them be anathema. Cut them off. If any angel comes to you with another gospel, any being in heaven or hell or earth comes to you with another, cut them off. Let them be anathema. Let every man be a liar, the Bible says. God's word, be truth. Are you hearing me today? Do we need more scriptures than the scriptures we already have? No. We have the scriptures that reveal who Jesus is. And they contain, as John said, enough so that we may know Christ and know him in the power of his resurrection, as Paul said, in the fellowship of his suffering. And that, as John said, we can attain salvation in his name. Don't need no more. We just need to believe what's already written. That's it. I know some may disagree with this next point I'm about to say, but I don't believe that the canon of Scripture is still open. I believe it's a closed canon. That does not mean God doesn't still speak. God still speaks. But whatever he speaks today through us and to us cannot contradict what is already written. It's already written. There is, so the canon of Scripture is closed. It's closed. That don't mean God has said everything he's going to say. Because God has not ceased speaking. God is still speaking. The question is, are you listening? Are you paying attention? Bible believing and Bible teaching. You want to be free from sin? You want to be delivered? You want to be healed and set free? You want to experience the authentic, powerful anointing of Jesus Christ, then you need to get in a church that believes the Bible to be what it is, the very word of God. So Proverbs again says, in Proverbs 35 and 6, every word of God is true. He guards those who come to him for safety. Do not add to his words, or he will correct and prove you a liar. God will prove folks to be a liar. Because in the end, when everything is finished and when this world is consummated and everything has done what is done, the Bible tells us that the whole world, whether they want to or not, will have to bow the knee to Jesus Christ. Right now they fight him. And you notice this, in our world today, if you mention Jesus, they get mad. If you mention that Jesus is the only way, they get mad. If you say the Bible is the only word of God, they get mad. They get mad. Why? Because it is innate in man to resist God. When given a choice to choose God or to choose his own way, man has always chose his own way. That's why the Scripture says, no one can come to God first unless the Spirit draws him. Anybody that claims they can come to God without God first drawing them is a liar. Anybody that claims they can get to heaven without Jesus, they are a liar. Anybody that claims that the Bible is not true, they are a lying spirit. And do not hear them. The Bible is true. The Bible can be trusted. We do have the Word of God. People say, well, man has corrupted the Bible. They have doctored Scripture. We have enough original texts. We have manuscripts for the New Testament going back to the first and second century. You didn't hear what I just said. We have original. We have the Dead Sea Scrolls that was buried during the time Jesus walked, that proves and agree with the Masoretic text that we have. Some of it agrees with the Septuagint. But the point is that it agrees with all the ancient texts, and it shows us that the Word of God is authentic. It shows us that the Word of God can be trusted. It shows us that the Word of God is what it says it is. It is the Word of God. It is the Word of God. So I pray today that you will go pick up your Bible, rediscover your Bible. Rediscover the treasure that you have, that God has given you. Read his word. Learn of him. The Bible said, if you think you got eternal life, he said, search the Scriptures. For it is they, the Scriptures, that testify of him. So if you think you're saved, if you think you know God, can know him apart from Scripture, then you are sadly mistaken. Because Jesus said in the gospel, it is the Scriptures that testify of him. So if you want eternal life, search the Scriptures. Jesus said through the writer of Hebrews, that I am the final revelation from God, the final revelation sent by God. Anything that comes after me is a liar. That means Muhammad does not have the final revelation. His revelation disagrees with Jesus, so it cannot be the Word of God. He cannot be the servant of the Most High because his revelation disagrees with Jesus. And if any preacher preaches a gospel that disagrees with Jesus, let them be anathema. Because their gospel is not the gospel that heals. Their gospel is not the gospel that liberates. Their gospel is not the gospel that changes. And we want to realize, wonder why we don't have peace in this world. We'll never have peace when we don't submit to the Prince of Peace, that is Jesus Christ. We'll never have get rid of all of this oppression in the world when we fail to acknowledge the one who came to set the captives free, to preach liberty to them that are captive, to heal those that are bruised. You know what Luke chapter 4 says. We cannot get some of these, we as a black people cannot get liberation apart from the liberator, and that's Jesus. Anybody who wants to liberate us must come through and by Jesus Christ. I hope you've got something from this broadcast. I hope you've been blessed. I ask you to go to our website, www.coaab.org, and check us out. Register for the Congress. If you're not able to make it to the Congress, give us send a donation. We'll gladly thank you for it, and you'll be blessed. Donate towards what we do at the Congress and all of that. Be a blessing and show your love to what God is doing through us and by us and with us to help support what we do, because at the Congress this year, we not only supply material to those people who come, but we also feed. We will feed a family of at least four to five people. We don't feed them for a month. We can do this because people like you who hear this program give and donate to the work. We speak truth to power. We will be issuing pastoral statements to the government, to various leaders this year. You need to give to this work to help continue what we do, because we are trying to be a voice in the wilderness, crying out and speaking the word of life so that our people can be healed, our people can be delivered, our people can be set free. Because there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved except Jesus Christ. God bless you. God bless you. God keep you. Go on also Amazon.com and get the COAB syllabus. We have it available in paperback on Amazon.com, the whole syllabus that we had last year. You need to get a copy for yourself. You need to get a copy for your people. The first few pages of that deals with the Episcopate and the Episcopacy, and it will bless your ministry. Your bishops, accurate information, objective information. I have a book that I expand on some of that called Episcopal Formation that will be useful for you and your ministry. It deals with the formation process along with the rest of the stuff from the Congress that we had at related to the Episcopate and the Episcopacy as well. Have a little short book on the liturgy that talks about worship and give you a little information about worship and what we have been dealing with at the Congress. And we're going to expand upon that and other material, and we'll make this stuff available for you so that your ministry can be blessed, that your ministry can be authentic, your ministry can be biblically grounded. You can exercise the power of God that comes in and through and by Jesus Christ. And so until our next broadcast, God bless you and God keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, amen. You have a great and awesome day.